The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Friday edition of Happier Happy Hour. The Burn It Down Friday edition, 420 Eve for those that celebrate. We got a fine guest. He is Peter Barca. He's a friend of the Devil's Advocates radio show, and he is a newly announced candidate in the first congressional race in the great state of Wisconsin. Peter, welcome back, man. Been too long.
Hey, Peter.
It has been a long time. It's great to be back in your show. I certainly appreciate how hard you work to keep your listeners informed of all the key things going on. So thank you for including me today.
Well, Peter, you've been doing hard work over at the Department of Revenue. Most recently, I bumped into you a couple times around town here in Madison. What was that job like, Peter?
Well, it was a job I just absolutely enjoyed enormously. You know, I was there for 5 1/4 years. I love being part of the governor's cabinet and, you know, trying to advance the agenda that the governor and, you know, put forward and items that we think really move the needle for Wisconsin. And we made so much progress. I mean, fiscally, we're in the best shape we've ever been in. And one of the things I really enjoyed, I served on the pitch team for the bond rating agencies. Of course, the governor led it. I was on with DOA and DOR. And, you know, as a consequence, for the first time in 40 years, we got a AAA bond rating from one of the services, and we moved up in the other key one. And, you know, so, you know, it just was a great effort. That means that as we borrow money to build roads and bridges and university buildings, we're going to save the taxpayers money and give them a favorable interest rate. We, of course, cut taxes for the middle class on a number of occasions. We had strategic cap cuts to try and encourage investment here in Wisconsin. And actually the last few bills we passed, I was especially pleased with things that we worked with the governor on that were, you know, very important for the state. One had to do with, you know, protecting kids. We had, law enforcement officials that were alcohol, tobacco, and gaming agents. And they told us how, you know, a month didn't go by where we didn't have kids in the emergency room because we were vaping dangerous chemicals. And so we passed the provision to make sure that only those vaping products that were on the registry could be sold. Of course, kids shouldn't vape anytime, but we know it's unfortunately many do. And then we added 4 new tobacco agents. So very important law enforcement tools that we brought into the Department of Revenue. And then also, the last bill that the governor signed that dealt with the Department of Revenue, I was especially pleased with, and that had to do with organ donations. And we became the second state in the union to, for next tax season, to be able to include, you know, a form so people could donate their organs online. But even this year, we actually did something no other state had done, and we put a link on our tax instructions so that people could be organ donors. And the thing that really was so heartwarming to me was that, you know, they have 4 people there from UW Organ Donation Center, and they said, you know, Secretary Barca, tell your team that you literally will be saving, you know, hundreds if not thousands of lives through having organs available, because every week somebody dies because there's not an organ available. So, I mean, we're just going to add to what the DMV, the Department of Motor Vehicles, has done so well, but it's one more means to encourage and make it easy for people to donate their organs. So we got a lot done. We we're very pleased with the effort, all on a bipartisan basis. We work with Republicans and Democrats in the legislature in order to pass the tax relief, in order to enact some of these law enforcement tools that were so important. And so it was a great job. I'm going to miss it enormously. But obviously, I don't like what's going on with our do-nothing dysfunctional Congress. And that's the reason why I announced I'm running for the 1st Congressional District down in the Kenosha-Racine, South Milwaukee region, and Janesville, Beloit, and Delavan, and every place in between.
Peter, we'll get to your newest candidacy in just a moment, sir. But just a note to your role with the Department of Revenue. While it seems quite noble to me, this organ donation, you guys already got an arm and a leg out of me, Peter.
Oh,
long way to go for that one. I'm sorry. I had to do it.
Wait a second. No, I see why you're called the devil's advocate.
Our fine guest is Peter Barca. He's a candidate in the 1st Congressional District. Peter, hell, you've served in Congress before in that district. What was that like, sir?
Well, obviously it's an honor anytime you can represent people. Whether I was in the legislature or the Congress, my goal was always to roll up my sleeves, work with people in both parties, and get things done. And I was pleased as a member of Congress. I was able to get things done. I think you are well aware and well known for is Buy American. So both on the state and the federal level, I champion those issues. In fact, as a member of Congress in the Defense Authorization Bill, I got a provision put in there to ensure that ships' engines, whether it be for submarines or aircraft carriers, would have to be made in America. And as a consequence, the Fairbanks Morse plant in Beloit, Wisconsin, was able to get a contract and recall 500 people that were on layoff and hire hundreds more. And I can't imagine why we would ever put at risk our defense capabilities to have that made in other countries. And then the legislature, I was the lead author for making sure Wisconsin would buy products made in America. Unfortunately, the Republicans would not bring that bill up, which troubled me. But when the Democrats were in charge, it was another thing that I worked with Congressman Pocan, who was the true champion, to make sure that call centers in Wisconsin would have to be staffed by people in America. It's a vitally important provision. And, also in Congress, I was able to work with Secretary Donna Shalala, you remember, was a chancellor, in order to get funds to start a community health care center. And I also worked hard to get 100,000 new cops on the street. And we had quite a few communities in the 1st Congressional District that were able to hire more law enforcement personnel to, try to provide safety for our citizens. And so there were quite a few things I did while I was in Congress that's the kind of approach I would bring back again.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. That is Peter Barca. He is a Democratic candidate for Wisconsin's 1st Congressional District. Peter, you served back in the 90s, talking about 30 years ago. Times have evolved and changed since then, certainly bringing a lot of institutional knowledge to the position. How do you think the governing has differed from then versus now, and how are you going to impact that? What's your plan there?
Well, one thing is there certainly is not enough efforts to work across the aisle and to get things done. I mean, one thing, you always had sort of workhorses and show horses. I always viewed myself as a workhorse to go to bat for the citizens and the communities in my district. But now, sadly, you have far more show horses than you have workhorses. That you have so many people that, all they want to do is go on social media and talk about the problems and never try to actually solve them. And that's a huge problem. I mean, that's part of the reason you have a do-nothing dysfunctional Congress, because, many people, they really don't want to try and solve problems. They think they're going to do better by just, talking about them and getting people riled up. And our goal, people like that should be replaced in my judgment. I mean, the heart of a democracy is accountability. The people are sovereign. And when people are so unsuccessful, they should be able to be replaced. And so that's what I aim to do.
Our fine guest, Peter Barca. Peter, you got a primary, but if you win and you are the Democratic nominee, you hope to face Brian Steil. How would you contrast your candidacy with the current placeholder in the first?
Well, there's a huge contrast. I mean, first of all, I was a leader during all of my periods in public service. I do not view them that way. I would champion bipartisan issues. And, you know, every time there's a major bipartisan vote of any consequence, a large number of Republicans vote one way, he's not one of them. When I look at, the efforts that I made, compared to his approach, they're entirely different. For me, I want to make sure that we improve the quality of healthcare and make it more accessible to people. Brian Stout could have ordered to lower prescription drug costs and capped insulin at $35. And we did that, the governor championed that as well in our cabinet at a state level, but he didn't vote that way. He could have voted for bipartisan legislation to keep jobs here, like the bipartisan infrastructure bill, but he didn't do that. He could have, when I was in the legislature, I was always for bills to guarantee IVF. Bert Goldschmidt was really the true champion back when I served to try and make sure for in vitro fertilization. It was only the rich and the wealthy that could have children when they had challenges. And he could have signed on to that bill to make it possible. But instead, he signed an amicus brief to overturn Roe v. Wade and what led to many of the issues that we're dealing with. I believe in women's rights and women's ability to make their healthcare decisions. But time and time again, he's voted against common sense bills and sided with extremists in his party. And that's what led to make this the most unproductive Congress we've had in modern history.
Peter Barca, last 60 seconds, sir, on the eve of 420. How do you feel? How would you vote in Congress for the legalization, regulation, and taxation of recreational cannabis?
Sadly, the laws that we have on cannabis have led to so many people going to prison, spending enormous amounts of taxpayer dollars. It's counterproductive. It makes absolutely no sense. We need to completely reform and change those laws. The governor has time and time again introduced that in the legislature. And obviously, Congress has a role to play there. And I certainly will be one that will help.
Peter Barca, tell people how to support your campaign.
Well, they can go to Peter Barca for Wisconsin and contribute if they'd like. We have a link on Act Blue, and please join our campaign here. We have a broad coalition of people, and we welcome whatever support people want to give us. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Peter Barca. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. We'll be back.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Happy 420 Eve to all. Serve, call us on the Friday grievance line, 844-967-2789.
Dom, want to thank our most recent guest, a fine one, a candidate, Democrat, running for Congress in the first. He is not the only one. We've had Lorenzo Santos, and we've had Diane Anderson, but I would say this is probably the most gravitas of any of the declared candidates on the Democratic side. I mean, Peter's been a congressman. He was the minority leader. Hell, he chastised me in a press conference once. I didn't bring it up.
Log rolling.
Yes. Why don't we do this, Peter? Well, Crudy, that would be log rolling, and that's illegal in Wisconsin. Well, it doesn't mean it's not a good idea, sir.
It's only illegal if you get caught, Peter.
I think specifically the topic at the time was the Democratic support for the Pfizer Forum, because Scott Walker's cheaper to keep them message just was uninspiring of the greater electorate. And the fact that he had
most things, Scott Walker.
Well, let's not forget, Scott Walker had given back the offer from the Hard Rock Cafe and their partnership with the Menominee Indian tribe.
Yeah.
Wouldn't let him build the casino, create 13,000 jobs. Wouldn't take the $250 million. That's $250 million they offered as a contribution towards the Pfizer Forum.
They haven't taken the Medicaid expansion money. You think they're worried about $250 million?
Well, it wasn't going to pass without some Democratic support. And the Democrats offered their support because they thought it was good policy to keep Milwaukee a major league city with the Milwaukee Bucks. And they subsequently went on short time later and won the championship. And hell, they start the playoffs on Sunday, Dom. So, you know, many people excited the Bucks stayed put. But they didn't do so without some Democratic support. And at the very same time, you know, Republicans needed us. There were some things they left us out high and dry on. And, you know, I guess call it a quid pro quo. Call it log rolling, Dom. I'd have been doing it. I'm just saying. 844-967-2789. A little distant caller from Austin, Texas. Stay weird, Sierra. How you doing?
Hey, Sierra.
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing up
Excellent.
There in Wisconsin?
Good.
Yeah, I'm just calling. I know you guys are going to really appreciate this. My niece turns 42 on 4/20/24.
Ooh.
Oh,
so
what?
I mean, how cool is that?
Super cool.
To turn 42.
Well, it's not exactly a golden birthday, but it's certainly going to be a green one, I suspect.
Oh, you got it right. And I told her, I said, she better light up a big one right at 4:20 p.m. and make a great big old wish for Biden to be the president again. So,
amen, Sierra.
Yeah. I knew if anybody would appreciate that, it would be you guys. So anyway, I'm just wondering if you could just give a big shout out to Ariane, who turns 42 on 4/20/24.
Well, happy birthday, Ariane. I hope I said that right. Happy 4/20. You will certainly celebrate, I hope, if you're anything like the Devil's Advocates.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm going to tell her about this, and she'll go ahead and play it back, because I know she's getting ready for the big party tomorrow. They're having a big, big, big party. And so, you know, they got, and they live in Illinois. So, you know,
the legal state. Nice.
Legal. They are going to be living it up. They even probably will invite the mayor to the party because they live in a small town. So.
As one does. One invites the mayor on 4/20 to come. Puff, puff, pass, unless you live in Madison, Wisconsin. Then you maybe could invite the former mayor. Soglin might come over, but I'm starting to wonder about Cheslevic. He might narc you out, Dom.
Thank you for the call, Sierra. Happy birthday to your niece on 4/20.
Can I just say?
Yeah.
DevilRadioSwag.com. DevilRadioSwag.com makes an excellent 42nd birthday gift.
It certainly does.
The black t-shirts, they're slimming. Although I'm wearing my dump trunk for about the 900th time today.
I see. What's the occasion, man? I thought maybe you'd pull it out for Monday, but
well, the trial starts on Monday.
Yeah, so you're just gonna wear it all weekend?
Might.
I mean, that thing. It's got some miles, man.
My initial thought when we heard this guy self-immolated outside the Trump trial, immediately after it was apparently known that a jury was going to be impaneled, my immediate thought was Trumpster fire.
Ugh, kinda. Too soon.
844-967-2789. Did we mention it's the burn it down for burn any edition? And if you think I've crossed a few too many lines, if I've, you know, walked across that burning bridge today, 844-967-2789. Call us and tell us what we're doing so right here. Original Claire, welcome back, Claire. What do you got for us?
The OC. Hey, Claire.
Hi, Devils.
Hey, Claire.
Hello, Devils. Good. Crudy, you're not going to be wearing that shirt on Monday, too, are you?
He's gonna wear it all weekend. That's what I'm saying. He's not. That thing's not coming off. We're gonna have to burn
it
off of him.
Don't go to the studio on Monday, Dom.
Claire, I'm. Yeah. I'm back to painting the boat this weekend. I got the green out for the 4/20. I'm gonna paint it. The green's going on the boat. The Jordan Love boat's getting the final application of color.
Ooh.
So I got plans. I got big plans for 4/20. Okay. Green paint.
Okay. Cool. I think I know why Trump is cold at the courthouse.
Why?
Two words. Wet diaper.
Well, no wonder why he's irritable.
I mean, maybe he had a blowout. Don't miss those days.
Hey, just thought I'd share that thought with you guys.
Yeah, that's the thought. And a visual. It's not great, but we appreciate you hanging out and playing with us, Claire. 844-967-2789.
You know, I am excited for the Trump trial. You know, the actual testimony, the opening statements on Monday that apparently it's going to happen, Dom. I mean, at this late hour, we've got a jury, we've got six alternatives.
And Trump was again denied today a change of venue in an appeals court right after the other court shut down.
Well, so Daddy says Monday. No twice, ask him a third time, Dom.
I object. I strenuously object. Oh, we strenuously object. Is that what we're doing now? Yeah, it's on, baby. Donkey Kong.
Come back with us. It's a Burn It Down Friday edition. We air your grievances here at 844-967-2789. Now, in light of this guy burning himself down outside the Trump trial, and I'm not exactly clear that he's supportive of Trump. You know, he thought there was some sort of a coup going on between the Biden and the Trump. You know, more of a manifesto sort of guy. But here's the question. I saw someone on CNN basically stated, if Trump keeps pushing this gag order line and he gets his ass thrown in jail by Juan Merchan, there could be civil unrest in this country.
Oh, so, you mean again?
Of course, absolutely again.
I mean, January 6th wasn't that long ago. We're still dealing with it. They're still arresting those fools. So it could happen again?
It could happen again. That make it a really bad idea or the best idea ever? Come back.
Best idea ever.
More gotta, Devil's gotta, Advocates.
Gotta put the man in his place.
Listing is the best idea ever. Calling even better. 844-96-PARTY.
You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition, the Burn It Down edition. It is 420 Eve. Kathy on the text line asked the question, does it get you high? I hope so, Kathy. Otherwise, why bother, right? Dom... Another Republican leaving the House of Representatives early.
Spending more time with family. God, they love their family.
This, a fresh headline. Rep. Jake LaTourneur, a Republican from Kansas, declared his decision not to seek re-election in the fall in a public statement on the Twitter that both acknowledged and downplayed criticisms that his party has spurred chaos in the House of Representatives. Not as far as he could tell, Dom. A very Ron Johnson-like statement here. Undoubtedly, the current dysfunction on Capitol Hill is distressing, but it almost always has been. We just didn't see most of it.
Oh, really?
Now, LaTourneur said he's leaving to pursue other opportunities unspecified, with the exception of a chance to spend more time with wife Suzanne and their four young children. Yeah. Again, more statement. I remain optimistic about the future of this country, not only because we have overcome more significant obstacles in the past, but that the vast majority of the people I served with, not counting you, MTG, are good and trying to do the right thing.
I'm assuming that was your input there,
yes,
Michael.
Yes, that was. Okay. He didn't actually say that in a statement. It has become fashionable for some to fear for the future of this country. What's the worst that could happen, Dom? And act as though the problems we face and the divisions that exist are insurmountable. But that is just not true. And that's why I'm taking my ball and going home.
I am just not the guy to help steer my 750,000 constituents through the fire.
Dom, his announcement comes one day before Rep. Mike Gallagher was due to leave after making a similar resignation announcement in March. Apparently, Gallagher's sticking around till Saturday, Dom, because they need the votes. The foreign policy bills that have been broken apart and are being glommed back together and really are being done this way, my understanding is, so what, people can oppose differing parts of the overall funding bill while still offering enough cover that this actually gets through. Anyways, the Ukraine weapons package ready to go once the bill clears Congress, Tom. I thought it did today.
I think they're voting on it tomorrow. I think it got out of committee today. Is that the deal? And I think, you know, even like Congressman Mark Polkan, our buddy from Madison, you know, I don't think that he's necessarily down with the additional, you know, Israel aid. You know, he made some comment about, you know, children in Gaza getting bombed. If this were all tied together because of Mark is a supporter of the Ukraine bill. So, you know, on all sides, people are looking for being able to vote on individual bills while having to, you know, sacrifice one thought or philosophy to support something else.
Now, there were over 300 congressional members that voted procedurally to advance this bill. So apparently they can have a Saturday vote. But if you'll note the math, Tom, more Democrats than Republicans moving this foreign policy bill.
Yeah.
And if I understand correctly, Paul Gosar from Arizona has now joined with the Massey and the MTG, and Speaker Mike Johnson's facing a vacating vote coming soon. They keep threatening.
Coming soon. Well, and perhaps
Hakeem Jeffries and the Dems are saving his ass in the short run here.
Well, and they they're also governing, right?
Yes, I like the governing part.
Through on here, Democrats of this particular issue, the procedural measure, as Crudy mentioned, 316 voted. 165 were Democrats versus the 151 Republicans that voted for it. So let's assume they do the vote, they send these things up, they all pass, they repackage it, send it over to the Senate. Now, the Senate's not going to vote on all the individual bills, my understanding. They're going to vote on a repackaged one bill for all of them as they come out of the House. So let's say they get out of the House. So what does that mean? The hard riders, MTG, those folks come Monday, Tuesday, are going to do an effort to vacate the speaker. If that's the case, then the only way he stays in, perhaps, is that, well, the Democrats come to help. And if the Democrats come to help, then I liked your idea the other day, Curdy. The only condition should be, then you bring up the border bill that was passed out of Senate. You want that? We'll help you. We'll bring that open for a vote on the floor of the House and put that thing behind us.
You know, it's interesting. So many of the hardliners, the Freedom Caucus people that would oppose the funding of the Ukraine bill without some sort of similar funding for the U.S. border. You know, we care more about our border than their borders. Well, there could be a resolution there because the Senate did pass that. Yeah. But Donald Trump didn't want it to go through. Your very same House Freedom Caucus, at the directive of their cult leader, are the very ones killing the bill that would actually satisfy their want. Ironic, isn't it? This is how the sausage is made, Don.
The Republican Party is in disarray.
844-967-2789. You be the judge. Northwoods Terry, you got a grievance for us this happy-go-lucky Friday?
Welcome, Terry.
Maybe looking for some information, though. But all right, first off, RIP Dickie Betts. I'll start there, and then I'll say, did the congressional lines get changed at all, guys?
No, not in the state of Wisconsin, not through the Mark Elias lawsuit. Evers asked the Supreme Court to intervene a little too late after the new maps had been signed. So, no, the same maps we've been working under. That leaves a couple of competitive districts that are currently Republican holds. Derek Van Orden is in probably the most competitive district. We obviously had Peter Barca. He's now a Democratic candidate for Brian Stiles' seat in the first. That's like a 1.5% Republican seat. And the one that I think is going to be very interesting is the former Mike Gallagher seat, because Kristen Lierley is just such a unusually unique candidate, right candidate at the right time. It's not Tim time. It's Kristen Lierley time. Terry, did I answer your questions probably with more you didn't want to know?
I was hoping what I read on the internet was accurate, but it wasn't. I thought you were right in the first place, what you said, but I wanted to double check with you guys. So,
well, you know,
a chance maybe to go,
you know, Pocan and Gwynmore are going to hold their seats. And unfortunately, the gerrymandered Fitzy seat. I mean, hell, Sensenbrenner held that seat for 42 years before Fitzy got there. So it's not like that one's probable to turn. I think the Glenn Grothman seat's also going to be a difficult one, although I've been spending more and more of my time in the 6CD. We got to recruit a candidate up there. Someone from the Democratic side, I haven't heard a candidate loudly make an announcement in that district. But overall, I like our chances in the third, in the first with Peter Barca, and up in the eighth. At least we're going to be very competitive in all these races, Terry. And that helps all the way up and down the ticket.
Yeah, we could, you know, with a little luck, go 5-3 congressional delegation split. 5 D's and 4-3 R's.
Well, from... So,
but I'll take a 4-4. I'll take a 4-4
I'll take what we can get, Terry.
I'd take anything better than a 6-2, man. You know that's not the reflection of the state of Wisconsin. 6-2.
No way. Right.
Appreciate your time.
Absolutely.
You know, we used to have Tom Petri. We used to have Dave Obey. We used to have moderates that served up north in the state of Wisconsin. I would hardly describe Tom Tiffany as a moderate. Fitzy ain't no moderate. Grothman is the most Trumpiest congressional Trumpster. I think he voted with Trump's agenda more than any other congressional member. You know, he might not be as pretty as MTG, but not because he ain't trying. 844.
And not because he has all his toes. 844-967-2789.
John from Boaz. John, welcome back, man.
Hey, John.
Good afternoon, gentlemen, and Devils, too. You are the greatest radio show ever.
Let's keep it that way. Don't you be burning us down on the air, John.
Well, not today, but I got a grievance about military.
John, we're not hearing you, man. Do you speak? Try again.
Military mistakes.
Yes, sir.
Okay. That's my grievance for today. Now, you gentlemen know how it is when they have the war in World War One, World War Two, Vietnam. We don't have to give money to the Israelites, please. We don't have to give money to fight Iran. But we don't have to fight in Russia. That's our American money that we have to pay taxes on.
John, I disagree with you in this topic. You're right. We are the greatest radio show ever. But
that is true.
There are needs, foreign policy needs. And I understand the sentiment, you know, the isolationist sentiment. It's kind of what helped lead to World War II. And it's, you know, let's take care of ours. That's some other part of the world. That's not our problem. And that, John, seems to be the attitude by a lot of the
Russians.
I almost said Russians. Republicans right now is, well, you know, Ukrainian, that's a regional conflict. That's not our problem. But they're a democratic sovereign nation that has been invaded.
There are Republicans in charge of the intelligence committees calling out their fellow Republicans on Russian talking points on the House floor, for crying out loud.
But obviously it's having impact because guys like John are starting to buy into this
sentiment. But I think that general thought is always there. I mean, it's always, why don't we take care of our own first before we, you know, go spend the money on others? Oh, we got this big national debt. We got this deficit. We got all these things to do. Yeah. I mean, I think that's a natural reaction to some degree. But then there's, you know, the consequence of inaction. If we do that, if Ukraine falls, you know what I'm saying? What happens then? Then we're going to wait till a NATO country gets attacked, wait till Poland gets attacked. You know what I'm saying? So there, I get the initial reaction, certainly. But unfortunately, there are, let's call them bad actors in this world. And there's, you know, people are fighting over resources and territory and you know, money. Let's just get to it. And if we want to support those that are democratically inclined and believe in the human rights and not, you know, the fascist dictator types, I think we're right to do so.
Well, Dom, certainly there are bad actors in the world. Hell, there's bad actors in the queue. I see you, CJ. It's Friday. We air the grievances. It's a burn it down Friday edition. Now, I haven't seen any actual flame throwing going on yet, Don, but you know, we got one last segment left and you could be the one that burns that bridge and gets banned forever. And I'm looking at you, CJ. I'm looking at you.
I want to, the CNN thing, who was it? Mark Preston. You mentioned this before. They said that former President Trump is jailed for violating his gag order, that there would be civil unrest across the country, and it would help Trump in the polls.
Is that above beyond the guy that burned himself outside the courthouse today? Because that may not have been, what, a Trump supportive action. I don't know how one cast self-immolation, but if Trump hadn't been at the courthouse that day, if there weren't, you know, a phalanx of Cadenbras sitting there, this man wouldn't have got what I think his mission was, which was publicity and his chosen, you know, way out.
I mean, well, at least he didn't harm other people in his messaging. There's that.
I said mission accomplished for this guy. Whatever he was trying to accomplish, he drew attention to his conspiracy theories. And, you know, he got lots of coverage right at the end. Come back. It's the end of our show. Not yet. Soon. Then it's the weekend. But not yet. 844-967-2789. Still time to burn it down. It's a happier Friday happy hour. And your grievances, well, they could be next.
I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
Lord Almighty, I feel my temperature rising. Higher, higher, it's burning through to my soul.
And thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates. Burn it down Friday edition. Happy 420 Eve to us all. Join us last segment of the day, 844-967-2789. Stick around. Busted Pencils coming up next.
So much bad taste jammed into 3 hours. Dom,
it's amazing. I think it's a job well done. I gotta be honest, it's been great.
Speaking of bad taste for 3 hours, you're going to be joining us in the 3 o'clock hour on Monday, excluding Tuesday evermore. But after that difficult 3 hour shift, you're taking Tuesday off.
But I'll be back on Wednesday again. Yeah, man, 3 hours, a historic event. Of course, not just me joining back at the 3 hours, but also Donald Trump opening argument starting on Monday.
And possibly a motion to get rid of Mike Johnson. Could have a new Speaker of the House by the time you get back on Wednesday. Or a vacated speakership for some extended period of time, because, you know, they don't really have a plan C, do they, Dom?
No, they don't have a plan A, B, C to Z, man.
Carl Gibson from AlterNet. Carl used to be in Madison. We knew Carl when he spent some time here covering the arrest at the Wisconsin State Capitol, but he writes today, Johnson is done. MTG now has the votes after a third Republican joins the bid to oust Mike Johnson. So Hakeem Jeffries and the Democrats have some soul searching to do this weekend. That's all I'm saying, Dom. House Speaker Mike Johnson, Republican from Louisiana. Well, his job is in deeper peril after a third House Republican officially endorsed MTG's motion to vacate him. According to NBC News, Rep. Paul Gosar. How's this guy not under January 6th indictment, Dom? A Republican from Arizona is now joining Green's campaign to strip Johnson of the gavel, along with Rep. Thomas Massey, Republican from Kentucky. The three Republicans on board with three Republicans on board, Johnson could lose his job if all Democrats also vote in favor of a motion in the event Green brings it to the floor. Johnson is done. An unnamed House Republican supporting Johnson told NBC, it's sad. Hashtag sad, Dom. So here's my question. And I think it begs at least a little debate. What if you do a rope-a-dope? What if you push through the foreign policy? You supply the votes. You move governance forward on Saturday. That'd be on 420. And then you think about it. And then Monday you don't save Speaker Mike Johnson. What if that happens, Dom? Because I think he's kind of betting on the secondary action as well, don't you think?
Well, and again, there's something of value there. And if there's going to be some, if the Dems are going to show up in mass and support, or at least in mass, have enough, bring enough votes to keep Mike Johnson as Speaker, then Mike Johnson has to do something for the Dems. And what would that be? I think your initial instinct on this, Kurt, it was bring up the Senate bipartisan border bill.
Force them to at least take it up on the floor for a vote.
Just bring it to the floor for a vote. You want us?
Not without a discharge petition. They're not. I think he's former Speaker Johnson. His final moment will be supplying the foreign aid, and then he'll be cut loose to the wind. Next week, then, we'll go through this whole circus again because these Republicans are so strong. And now they'll have at least one less vote because Mike Gallagher is going to give them their last vote on Saturday and then vacate the chamber.
Apparently, I got tired of the death threats and the swatting. Massey, this is one of the Republicans who was supporting MTG in this effort to vacate, said he expects Johnson to prevail after the initial motion to vacate. However, the Kentucky Republican is holding out hope that the vote will indicate to the Speaker that he has lost the confidence of the House Republican Conference and will resign on his own. A quote from Massey to NBC. The strategy all along has been to ask the Speaker to resign in a fashion like John Boehner resigned, where John Boehner cleaned the barn and said, I'm leaving and you've got plenty of time to replace me. So in that circumstance, we didn't end up with a speakerless House. Just like when you leave a job, you give 2 weeks notice. We're looking for Mike's notice. Looking for the 2 week notice. Please resign.
844-967-2789. Tom from Milwaukee observes, we don't actually give money to the Ukraine. We're giving money to the U.S. We give them our current weapons and ammunition. Then we buy new equipment for the U.S. forces. It's actually a stimulus. Well, that's a hell of a way to look at it, Tom. For stimulus spending, for war profiteering.
What did Senator Ron Johnson say about supplying missiles to the Saudis to fight the Houthis or something? Well, you know, we have the better missiles, and you know, they at least they won't do as much collateral damage in hell. Someone's going to supply them missiles anyway. It may as well be us.
It was actually us bombing the Yemenis, Dom. You know, we bombed so many through the years.
It's hard to keep track.
844-967-2789. I guess you've been patient against my better judgment, CJ. What's your grievance?
Happy 420 Eve, CJ.
Well, happy 420 to you guys. But, you know, as I listen to you interview Mr. Barca, you never ask him follow-up questions.
We didn't really have the opportunity. Peter did a lot of talking.
Yeah, he did.
Well,
what was your follow-up question, BCJ?
You never asked him the tough ones. Well, like the doctor, the guest you always, the doctor guest, I forget, Kristen.
Dr. Kristen Lierley, Democratic candidate in the CD8.
Okay, you know, when you talk about abortion, you never ask, what are your restrictions, doctor? Do you have any? Is it up to the day before a baby's born?
That doesn't happen, CJ.
Or, Mr. Barca, do you believe that the border is a crisis?
That would have been a valid question, CJ.
Would have been fitting, guys.
What was the other?
Right?
What?
Any of those questions would have been fitting. You know, a follow-up question from you guys would be a tough one.
That's why people tune in to the CJ show each and every afternoon, because you ask all the tough questions. I think it would have been a valid question to ask Peter Barker about immigration. I'll take that criticism. asking an OBGYN when's the proper limitation on an abortion. Specifically, she is the doctor. It's between her and her patient, CJ. And if there's some medical complication on the day before birth, so be it. That's between her and her patient and God, but certainly not you or some Republican lawmaker or the U.S. Supreme Court. That'd be my assertion. Have a great 420, all that celebrate. Thank you, Peter Parker. Thank you, Alan Robinson. Thank you, Rich. Thank you, Dom. See you at 3 on Monday, everyone.
Yeah, baby.